Ephesians chapter 5. Good to see y'all. Oh my, good to see you. Good to see y'all. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, if you haven't. Tonight I want to talk to you about His church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this church is His church, okay? Not every church is His church. Amen. Amen. And but not everything that calls itself church is His church. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And not every congregation is His church. But I am proud to say, rightly so, that this has been His church since the very beginning. It's founded on Him. So if you will, look at Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start with verse 1 and read around a little bit here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Skip down, if you will, to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now he's talking about those that he mentioned in the verses I didn't read. Fornicators, coveters, blasphemers, filthiness, things like that. Somebody asked me today about judging. I said you have to judge things, places, things that's going on. You don't judge the people well not to go into heaven, because you don't know, only you and God, only God and them knows that. But we are to judge things. We're to stay away from some things. So he said, let no man deceive you with his vain words, because God's going to throw wrath on those people. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were, underline that, that's past tense, sometimes darkness. You wasn't just in darkness, you were darkness. You were part of that crowd of darkness. You were part of the problem. You wasn't just in it, you were darkness, okay? And you were darkness. And he says, but now are ye light. You're not just in the light. You are light now that you've been saved by the grace of God. In the Lord, walk as children of light. Saved people, live like it, walk like it, talk like it, dress like it, act like it. Amen? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now you got to judge it in order to reprove it, sister. You got to reprove it. You got to judge it. This is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. Hey, that's wrong. I'm not doing that. And you ought not be doing it yourself. When was the last time you heard somebody tell you that? You ought not be doing that. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Skip down to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You show me somebody with a bad attitude, I say, the Lord ain't in that heart. Right. Give thanks always for all things. Sister Bonnie, all things. Hazel, all things. Ron, all things. God's got a purpose for all things. Amen. Give Him thanks for all things. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we're not going to get on husband and wives, but he uses husbands and wives as an example. And there's that new Me Too movement going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. You watch what I tell you, they're going to ruin what little good they got left. Right. Because they're already talking about making a woman the president of the convention. And putting women. Now, I'm not against women. My mama's a woman. My wife's a woman. I have three daughters. I got some granddaughters. I'm all about it. But I'm telling you, God's got an order, and you do God's order. Amen. I'm not worthy to stand here, but He's the one that decided that, not me. Amen? Amen. So, we got to watch out. We got to stay alert. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband's head of the wife, even as Christ, I want you to notice this part, even as Christ is head of the church, Jesus is the head of this church. Amen. I'm not the head of this church. I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd. I'm the one that runs around and makes sure you got what you need. Amen. No man's the head of the church. No denomination is the head. No denomination should have lordship over your church. The associational director, he shouldn't be able to tell your pastor and your church what to do. Come on, help me. The president of some big denomination who ain't never pastored a church, probably never won a soul to Christ, they have no authority over your church. People ask me, say, are y'all Southern Baptists? I said, well, we're in the South and we're Baptist. Well, who's the president of your convention? I said, God. He said, who's the vice president? I said, Jesus. Well, who's the secretary? The Holy Ghost. Who's the board of directors? Those 12 that sit around up there. Those 12 apostles and those 12 church representatives. Let's go on. I'm making some of you mad. I can tell already. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we're talking about husband and wife, but he's likening it to something you can understand. A husband ought to love his wife. A husband ought to take care of his wife. She ought to submit to that. That doesn't mean they're not partners in their marriage. I've never wrote a check in my whole marriage. I don't even know how to write a check. I ain't never had no money to write a check. But my wife's always took care of the bills. And I'm always trusting her. And I went to work. And I'd bring home the dough, what little bit I could. And she'd disperse it to the bill collectors. But we had our place in the family. Now you listen to me, and this ain't got nothing to do with church. I'm going to throw this in there. It's for free, okay? You can't have two women and have a mom and a daddy. That's going on more and more every day. And you can't have two men and have a mom and a daddy. Come on, don't get mad at me because your cousin's won. It ain't my fault. Somebody needs to correct them, amen? And the day that I'll approve of giving children to those people will be a cold day where the boogeyman's going. Oh, well, I've lost something. Lost something. Now, I'm preaching on church. Now, look. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now there's your church. The church is not a social organization. The church is not an entertainment center. The church is not a recreation center. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. Those who have been redeemed and born again by the grace of God through the shed blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that we are here to magnify Him, glorify Him, and build a church that can be presented to Him, the groom, the bride. And the groom wants a spotless bride. That's what that white dress represents. Rick, you're going to make a good-looking bride, brother. Ain't we all? Amen? Now, I want to talk just a few minutes about how I'm not ashamed of the church. Now, there's a lot of people running around this country apologizing for being Christians and belonging to church. I'm not ashamed of church. I will say March the 5th, 1978, about 12:15 at Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on the left-hand side, the 303rd verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. Y'all know it's a joke, don't you? And I come running down through there, and I was saved before I ever got to the front. And the burdens were lifted, and the guilt was lifted, and the sin was washed away, and I was already a member of the Church of Jesus Christ before I ever signed the card that day. And I knew it. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know a scripture that said it, but deep down in my soul, God had adopted me into the family of God, and I knew it. And I was not ashamed of church. I told my friends, I said, you can keep coming over here on Sunday if you want to, but if you come, come ready to go to church. And if you're not going to be ready to go to church, just be prepared to sit in the driveway till we get home. Come on. I'm serious about church. My children went to church. I mean, we didn't make excuses to keep them home. I found something that had revolutionized my life, which was a local church. And I wanted my children's lives to be spared before they were ruined like my life was ruined. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. If they had a meeting, my youngest was going to be there. We might have to prop them up in the pew and let them sleep on our shoulder. They didn't have all these things that we offer nowadays. Children came to church and they dressed like church and they behaved like church. And if they didn't, we'd take them outside and correct them, bring them back in. You didn't have to beg them or plead with them. You say, you're the young and I'm the parent. I got saved by the grace of God. You're going to get saved too. And I know you don't like that, but it's going to happen. Amen. And we brought them in there and we said, and my children grew up in church. By the time my daughter, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm just telling you how much I love church. By the time my daughters were teenagers, they were already teaching children's church. You remember that, Becky? The old back room up there on Cherry Road in that old store building, you and Suzanne would take those kids back there. I don't know what y'all did. They'd take them youngins back there in children's church. Amen. Been serving the Lord every day. They got saved at a young age, started serving the Lord. Now, if I didn't love the church and didn't take them to church, I don't know if that ever would have happened. I didn't make excuses for not going to church. I found reasons to go to church. We go to meetings. We go to youth rallies. We go to camp. They went to Sunday school. They went Wednesday night, Sunday night. We drive 17, 18, 20 miles to church. And people say, well, I can't do that. My kids have to go to school tomorrow. They got up and went to school the next day. Kids used to do that. Some of y'all did it. You went to church on Wednesday night, went to school the next day. By the way, it's better than staying up till 11 o'clock playing those video games you give those kids. Preacher, I thought we was going to get a sweet sermon tonight. This is sweet. You don't really want to know what all I think. I'm holding back right now. I'm way back. I'm holding way back right now. Amen. I'm trying to fill up a church. I'd empty it if I said everything I thought. Look at Matthew 16:18, real quick. Matthew 16:18. That's just my introduction. Brother Holroyd taught Sunday school this morning. He spent 30 minutes on his introduction. And he said, that's just my introduction. Matthew 16:18. Jesus is talking to Peter. He said, Peter, who do people say that I am? And some of them said, well, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some say you're Elijah come back from heaven. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can see him crying while he said it. Then verse 18, Jesus said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't talking about Peter either. He was talking about the statement that Peter made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock that he built the church on. Peter was just a saved sinner is all he was. And by the way, Peter wasn't a pope either. Peter never even went to Rome. Bunch of lying religious people. Let me tell you something. This church right here, any real church, Jesus Christ is the founder. Did you know it was founded in eternity past before the world was ever created? The church was founded. Because God already had the plan before the world was ever created. He knew what man would be, and he made a plan where he could love man anyway and fellowship with man anyway through his son and through the local church.
Amen.
Yeah. Wasn't built from Rome. It was built from heaven. It wasn't built from Nashville. It was built from heaven. Look. There are a lot of churches started for a lot of reasons. I don't know all the reasons. I've never had but one. To glorify Him and keep people out of hell. I think that's the purpose right there.
Amen.
And by doing that, we're edified. We grow and we're blessed by doing those things. But I want you to know, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God. He founded every real church that's ever been on planet Earth. Now, a lot of them don't belong to Him. I understand that. They have the rainbow thing outside their building, you know, and they fly the rainbow flag. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God didn't do that. He wouldn't give commandments against something and then tolerate it in His church. Amen? It's the same way with music and entertainment and everything else. But He's the founder. Now, I want you to know, when God looks down on a congregation, listen to me close now. Young people, you listening? It's a glorious church. It's a glorious congregation. Every church that God has established, He looks down on it, and it's a glorious congregation. He looks down here, and we're just all a bunch of... we've all messed up. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all made stupid mistakes, but a lot of times because of lack of instruction or whatever. And we have our flaws, and we have our failures. And if you go ask 5 or 10 people, you'll probably get 4 bad comments about us and 1 good one, you know. That's what this church is made out of, saved sinners. But when God looks down here, He sees something that the blood of His Son established.
Amen.
And that's a glorious thing. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, if you will. Revelation chapter 3, real quick. Is it hot in here? It ain't hot over at that other church. Revelation... chapter 3. They got 3 good air conditioners over there. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 7, if you will. Revelation 3, 7. The angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith He that is holy, He that is true, He that hath the key of David, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." That you can't close down a church if God don't want it closed down. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not," what did it say? "Denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now these people were united in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Wasn't one saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Ron, or I'm of Don." They were all united in one thing. They were trying to do a work for God. And because of that, God said, "There's some fakes down there, and they're against you, but I've got news for you. I'm going to take care of you, and those people are one day going to fall at your feet." Now, I've said this long enough. Y'all listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, Christian. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have enemies sometime in your Christian life. But let me tell you something. If you'll just be patient and wait, and you keep the faith, and you keep doing what you're supposed to do, those enemies will disappear, or either they'll come to you one day and apologize for what they've done and said about you. I've had them do it to me. And the ones that don't will fall off the map. You won't even know where they're at anymore. Nobody will. We all have our critics. We all have people that criticize us and try to hurt us. But you be faithful with that little bit you got. You just go ahead and be faithful. This ain't the biggest church in town. I doubt we'll ever have the biggest church. But I know this, we can be faithful with what little He's given us. And we'll be faithful. We have critics now. They're all over this town. We're the dinosaurs. Old Preacher Ron, he's that old dinosaur, you know, he's old fashioned, all that stuff. That church, the old dinosaur church, you know, got all them old people. They still got an old fashioned choir. That choir director's whipping them into shape. They got an old fashioned piano player. He ain't ashamed to play. He don't know nothing but the hymns. And boy, those people down there, they still say amen, praise God. They don't sing hill song. They don't sing Jesus is my boyfriend songs, you know. And boy, but let me tell you something. Just hang around. They won't be around long. And if they get right with God, they'll come and apologize to you. Amen. Amen. Don't you worry about what they say about your church. Jesus says it's what He wants. Amen. So it's a glorious congregation because they're united. Now, it hadn't always been that here. Being a new church, we're just going on 12 years old. Some have come, some have gone. Dr. Bob Gray said, don't even count people for 10 years because you're going to have so much of a turnover because people really don't know what they're looking for and they come into a new church and you don't have all those ball teams and bowling league and stuff for the kids and all that. So they don't stick around. And then sometimes you'll have some come in that want to run things and they've always run things and they think they're going to run your thing too. And then you stand up to them and they get mad and they leave. Amen. They hadn't always been, and boy, they're going to criticize you. Amen. Amen. Blenda called me one night and said the Bible Institute done turned into a revolution in there. And they was calling me everything but a child of God. What am I going to do? She said. I said, just stay right there. I'll take care of it. Amen. Look, we got to stay united. One purpose, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And to keep people out of a devil's hell. Amen. There are a lot of rewards for fellowship in the gospel. You know the main thing people say about this place? They don't say, y'all got the greatest preacher in town. If they did, leave them alone, they're lying. Okay? Come out from among them. Hell, he's a great orator. Jeffrey has a dictionary to interpret every night he goes home and tries to look up things I say. but here's what most people say. Boy, y'all got the lovingest bunch I've ever been amongst. I came in the door and I felt the love of God. I felt it in you singing. Said, people hug my neck so much, I was scared that people kept on hugging my neck. I ain't never been to church where people hug my neck like that. And I've got where I tell people, if you don't like your neck hugged, don't come to my church. They'll hug your neck. If you, some of you old goats scared of women, you better watch out. There's some little old ladies around here squeeze your neck off. Amen. Amen. But you know, there's a lot of unforgettable rejoicing that we can do if we're just not ashamed of the church that Jesus built. We can rejoice in it. You know, right now, brother, tonight we rejoiced in your healing. We're rejoicing in Edward's healing. He's still being healed. We're rejoicing in Marty's healing. He's still being healed. Amen? And you're not going to get that anywhere else. Where are you going to go to get that? Where are you going to go get somebody showing up on your front porch with a bag of chicken because somebody at the house is sick? Where else are you going to go? Somebody showing up. Somebody told me, I think Sister Deborah showed up with a casserole. I said, that proves she's a Baptist. Casserole. Where are you going to get that? To see our children get saved and our grandchildren get saved and our brothers and our sisters. And to see people get in church that's given up on church, Brother Ron, because they've been disappointed so many times. And there's so much hypocrisy and so much worldliness and carnality in churches. And they go in there saying, glory to God, this is going to be good. And somebody hands them earplugs at the door and says, you might need these. The music's a little rocky and loud. I ain't found a Bible verse for that yet. I can see it at Lord's Supper as they was coming into the room handing out earplugs at Lord's Supper. But it's a glorious congregation. When we look down, we see each other's frailty and faults. When God looks down, He sees a blood-bought congregation that loves Him with their frailty and with their faults. Amen? And then last but not least, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 1. I said Jesus is the founder. And I might say the cross is the foundation. There's none other name. And He died on the cross. It's a glorious congregation. This is a glorious congregation. Good looking crowd. I remember when we first got started, Brother Ron, there'd be sometimes 8 or 10 people on Sunday night. And old devil tried to discourage me. And I said, well, I ain't quitting now. I done gone too far to quit now. Look at Revelation 4, 1 through 3. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. We just stopped right there and shouted out, amen. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. And I found the door to heaven. Amen. 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 A door was open. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. Now, this glorious church one day is going to have a glorious climax.
Amen.
You see, we're just starting. Girls, church 12 years old is an infant church. Their church is hundreds of years old. I've been in some of them. And we're just getting started. But one day, listen, all of God's churches are going to end up in the same place.
Amen.
They're going up to meet the Savior. They're going. Here's a warning for you. If there's more preaching on how to be happy and rich and healthy at a church than there is going to heaven, you might be in the wrong church.
Amen.
A fella told me one time, said, Brother Ron, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I said, you're so earthly minded, you ain't no heavenly good.
Amen.
I said, because I'm bound for the promised land. Amen. This land's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you right now, the keys to my... We got several automobiles parked in the yard. The keys is down here. My billfold's right there. Got a couple charge cards in it. Hey, help yourself. If the trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. I ain't looking to stick around here. And the real church is leaving. Now, guess what? After we leave, they still going to have church. But it's not going to be Jesus' church. They'll still go through the motions. They'll go through their religious rituals. A fellow told me one time, said, Brother Ron, I heard you got religion. I said, I ain't got no religion. I don't light any candles. I don't chant any chants. I don't have any statues or pictures that I bow down to. I said, I've got salvation. I was saved by the grace of God. I'm kept by the grace of God. So therefore, I live by the grace of God. I have no religion. Y'all know what I mean. I know we call Christianity religion, but it really ain't. We're living by faith. Amen? Now, one day we're going to do like Elijah. That fire chariot came down. Elijah was through. He told Elisha, he said, now I'm leaving here. He warned him. He said, God's coming to get me. I'm leaving here. And we'll tell people the same thing. And Elisha said, well, I'm going to stick with you. He said, no, you go home. You can't go where I'm going. He said, I'm not leaving you. He said, I want a double portion of what you got. When was the last time somebody asked you for a double portion of what you got? Most of them think you got the flu. You look so miserable. Listen, smile every once in a while. Let people know you're saved. Amen. And that fire chariot came down. It swooped up old Elijah. Elisha standing there hollering at him, you know. And he dropped that cape. And that cape came down, and with that cape came a double portion of the power of God on that man. One day we're going to be walking along talking to somebody, and that trumpet's going to sound, da, 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 and we're going to hear it. Nobody's going to hear it. It's going to say, come up hither. And we're out of here, Brother Billy. The real church will leave.
Amen.
Now, Dr. So-and-so will be here next Sunday. He's a doctor. He paid $50 for that thing. They sent him a one-page test. He filled it out, sent it back. They sent him a doctor's degree. Amen. Now, he can marry people for $250 a hit. He can bury people for $300 or $400. Amen. He's a doctor now. He's a doctor of nothing. Amen. The real church is leaving. Bill, I know you have questions, some do, over mid-rapture, pre-rapture, post-rapture. But I'll tell you this, there's a rapture. And we're going out. And the real church is leaving. And I wouldn't be playing church if I was you. Because the play-like ain't going. There's not a play-like rapture. Amen? You remember when you was a kid, you'd tell your brother, you'd say, you play like the preacher, I'll play like the sinner getting saved. I don't think y'all did that either. There's a lot of play-like preachers, a lot of play-like Christians, but they're not going to get a play-like rapture. They're going to stay. And I hope, I don't know anybody in this place saved but me. I hope you got it. I know I got it. I was there when it happened. I believe my wife's got it. I believe my daughter's got it. I'm almost certain. But only they can be absolutely certain. But Dan, I think you got it. I don't know. Even from California, you got it. Praise God. Got saved in California. How often do you hear that? I don't even know if the rapture's going to happen in California. That's why they moved him to South Carolina. Amen. But we're going out of here. Now, in the meantime, before we say goodbye to this old world, we're supposed to say, come with us, world. Y'all folks, come with us. We're bound for the promised land. We want you to come with us. We're searching for a city. We want you to search with us. We're going to a reward. We want you to be rewarded. Because we're the church of Jesus Christ. One day, I'm sure as we grow, Lord bless us, we'll have bigger facilities. Even the one we vote on tonight to hold 120 people. And I'm sure as we go, we'll have more buildings and more activities. The Lord has sent us people to do. Thank God He sent the Edenhoffers to do children's church. And He sent some of you others to work with kids. And other things happen, I'm sure. But let's don't ever get our eyes off the prize, okay? We might play ball at the picnic, but we're not starting a ball team, okay? Got quiet on that one. Some of y'all might get together and go bowling together and have a wonderful time, but we're not financing a bowling team.
Amen.
We're not wasting God's money on stuff like that.
Right.
We might one day we might have a family life center. I would rather call it a fellowship hall. But we're not wasting money on worldly stuff. We got more important things to do. We need to get grandchildren saved. We need to get children saved. We need to get brothers and sisters saved. Let's don't get sidetracked. Girls, listen to me. Let's don't get sidetracked. You got friends going to hell, and that ain't funny at all. Listen.
Right.
Got brothers and sisters need to be saved. His church. I'm not ashamed of his. I'm not ashamed of this church. Now, I know some of us probably, maybe you got children or something. They don't tell their friends to come down here because we're a little old-fashioned. We're a little old-fashioned, amen. But I'm not ashamed of this church. I'm not. And I've seen God do great things. I'm looking for Him to do more. And it's a glorious congregation. And it's founded on the cross of Jesus Christ. And one day it's going out of here. Now, until then, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, then we'll be called way home. Amen. Amen. Is that in the book? Is it? Dan, do you know that song? You wouldn't. You're from California. They don't like to work out there. They live off the government out there. Is it in this book right here? Well, while he's doing that, let me tell you something. There's a work to be done. Listen, y'all listen. Everybody ain't got to look. He'll tell you where it's at. There's a work to be done, and I think this little church right here can do a great work for God. I think we're already doing it. And I don't see any reason to back up or slow down. Matter of fact, if anything else, I think we'll throw some gas on the fire. Now, if you're looking for a preacher to ease you into worldliness and new ways of worship and new music and new clothes and all that stuff, you're going to have to fire me. I'm not changing. This, now, I'll change. If there's something wrong with me, I'll change. The Lord tells me something wrong with me, I'll change. But I don't see no reason to change anything that we've done so far. If it's working, why you want to mess with it? Well, preacher, we need to hire some of these people that will tell us how to promote the church. I'll tell you how to promote the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's free. Done been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, we need to hire this guy that does all the visiting. Why do we need another guy? I'm the shepherd. Amen. I'm the one supposed to. Went over, saw Brother Skeet yesterday. Went over there to see Brother Skeet. And I walked in the room and his brother Doug was there. And I hadn't seen Doug in many years. And put my hands on his shoulder. He said, "Who is that?" I said, "I'm not going to tell you." He said, "Who is that?" And Skeet said, "That's old Ron Roddy." He said, "Oh, Ron Roddy." I said, "They told me there was a crippled and a lame and a lost sheep in here. And I come to rescue the sheep. Where is he?" Doug said, "He's laying right there in that bed, right there." He said, "You didn't have to come see me, Brother Ron." I said, "That's my job." Why change that? Well, we need to hire an educated music director. You got enough talent in here now. You'd show off all them people. You'd show them up, every one of them. Amen? Besides, we got one. Y'all don't know it, but Holroyd don't sound much like it, but he's educated. You see these girls right here? Before I die, I want to know for sure that these youngins are going to heaven. It ain't it. Well, we're not going to sing it because they don't know the words. But listen, it's still the same. We'll work and we'll keep it up. Now, if you're not saved tonight, let me finish this up. If you're not saved tonight, it's simply because you don't want to be. The church has been established before the foundation of the world to make it possible for you to come to Jesus Christ. And if you don't come, it's simply because you don't want to. You think there's something better. Well, let me alarm you a little bit here. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than being saved. Now, it's our job to get you saved. So don't get mad at us when we aggravate you about going to church or getting saved. That's our job. Well, I would bring my friends down there, but Preacher Ron embarrasses me. That's my job. Sometimes you need to be embarrassed. Amen? Amen, amen. Let's get our hymn book, tell it 419. 419, tell it to Jesus. Maybe tonight you need to be saved. Maybe you need to be saved. And if you're not saved, I tell you, this will be the easiest place you'll ever be in to get saved. We're here to obey the Lord. First, second, last verse. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it.